Good evening, one and all. Welcome to our midweek church service. Greetings to those on the phone, those listening to the recording, and glad to have you in fellowship with us tonight. Our opening song is I Love to Tell the Story. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.
I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story.
Thank you, brother. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat. What seems each time I tell it, more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.
Okay. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seems hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new, new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.
Amen. And praise God for the privilege and the honor of uplifting the Savior before mankind and loving to do so. Amen. So again, welcome, dear ones. And before we get into our service, I have one announcement to make. That announcement is the women's group is going to be meeting again on Monday evenings at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time, which would be 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. And it will begin this Monday, the 23rd of April. So we hope to see you there in the women's group. And I think an email has already been sent out. And if you did not get one, please contact Sister Michelle. And she'll send you more of the details. But again, the women's meeting after a long break is going to resume this coming Monday, the 23rd at 5:30 p.m. Pacific or 8:30 p.m. Eastern. So that is the one announcement. And before we get into our main service, it's time for opening prayer. And who would like to offer that this evening?
Shall we bow our heads and our knees? Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for this evening hour of worship. We thank you for the blessings this day has provided, and hear the things that we've accomplished. With the other attendees, we trust that your blessings have made their lives richer today too. We ask for the forgiveness of our sins, and we ask for your presence to be with us this evening as we study your word. Bless those who are here and those who couldn't come. And lay your healing hand on any sick ones in our group. These things I ask in Jesus.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. Do you remember the homework that we had from last Wednesday? We were going to be trying to discover the reason why God did not allow Paul to go independent, but he connected him directly with the early Christian church and had him work through that system. And so those that did their homework, would you like to share what you discovered in answer to that question? Please go right ahead.
Well, I was reading in Great Controversy about that, and the disciples had personal knowledge of Christ. They had been witness to the power and wisdom of God, and they were persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, etc., would be able to separate them from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And together, Paul and the disciples could uplift each other when things got bad, like the zebras who huddle together so that they appear to be to their enemy as one large animal, so the enemy goes somewhere else for a meal. There's strength in fellowship. Each one brings something different. The body of Christ has many members, strength in numbers. And Paul experienced a great miracle in his life and could speak from experience. The disciples could speak from experience, their personal lives with Jesus, and talk about the miracles he performed. So together they made a solid team. Personal experiences stay in the mind and are solid. Convincing joy is contagious, so also is despair. So they were perfect together because their joy made them, people wanted to be around them and listen to them because they were joyful with the love of Christ and spoke the truth.
Amen. All of those were excellent reasons why. And it's the same today. The fellowship, the benefit, the edification, the encouragement, the comfort that you receive from fellowshipping one with another is the reason why God wants his people to come together as one. So amen, dear sister. Great homework. Any others did their homework and would like to share their findings? Please go right ahead. Well, thank you, dear sister. That was great. Amen. Unity is important in the ministry. Amen indeed. What I had found was a little bit different, sort of a different aspect of it than what our dear sister shared. And what she shared is excellent. What she shared is right to the point. But I found just a little different aspect of it. And so I wanted to share it with you here in the room. This is taken from Acts of the Apostles, page 162 through 165. And it says here, the circumstances connected with the separation of Paul and Barnabas by the Holy Spirit to a definite line of service shows clearly that the Lord works through appointed agencies in his organized church. Years before, when the divine purpose concerning Paul was first revealed to him by the Savior himself, Paul was immediately afterward brought into contact with members of the newly organized church at Damascus. Furthermore, the church at that place was not long left in darkness as to the personal experience of the converted Pharisee. And now, when the divine commission given at that time was to be more fully carried out, the Holy Spirit again bearing witness concerning Paul as a chosen vessel to bear the gospel to the Gentiles, laid upon the church the work of ordaining him and his fellow laborer. As the leaders of the church in Antioch ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." God has made his church on the earth a channel of light, and through it he communicates his purposes and his will. He does not give to one of his servants an experience independent of and contrary to the experience of the church itself. Neither does he give one man a knowledge of his will for the entire church while the church, Christ's body, is left in darkness. In his providence, he places his servants in close connection with his church in order that they may have less confidence in themselves and greater confidence in others whom he is leading out to advance his work. There have ever been in the church those who are constantly inclined toward individual independence. They seem unable to realize that independence of spirit is liable to lead the human agent to have too much confidence in himself and to trust in his own judgment rather than to respect the counsel and highly esteem the judgment of his brethren, especially of those in the offices that God has appointed for the leadership of his people. God has invested his church with special authority and power, which no one can be justified in disregarding and despising, for he who does this despises the voice of God. Those who are inclined to regard their individual judgment as supreme are in grave peril. It is Satan's studied effort to separate such ones from those who are channels of light through whom God has wrought to build up and extend his work in the earth. To neglect or despise those whom God has appointed to bear the responsibilities of leadership in connection with the advancement of the truth is to reject the means that he has ordained for the help, encouragement, and strength of his people. For any worker in the Lord's cause to pass these by and to think that his light must come through no other channel than directly from God is to place himself in a position where he is liable to be deceived by the enemy and overthrown. The Lord in his wisdom has arranged that by means of the close relationship that should be maintained by all believers, Christian shall be united to Christian and church to church. Thus the human instrumentality will be enabled to cooperate with the divine. Every agency will be subordinate to the Holy Spirit, and all the believers will be united in an organized and well-directed effort to give to the world glad tidings of the grace of God. Paul regarded the occasion of his formal ordination as marking the beginning of a new and important epoch in his life work. It was from this time that he afterward dated the beginning of his apostleship in the Christian church. And again, that was from Acts of the Apostles, page 162 through 165. So not only was it for the fellowship, the edification, the encouragement, the companionship, the help of other brothers and sisters that God led Paul directly to the church and not go independent of the church, was because God wanted to teach Paul the lesson, as well as all the rest of us, that God is not leading independent Adams to go and do their own thing, or independent ministries to go and do their own thing, independent of God's true people. So workers to be united with worker. Church is to be united with church. Christian is to be united with Christian. And everyone is to be subordinate to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will bring us into unity. So God led Paul directly to the church at Damascus to join with the brethren. And that's what he continued to do for the entire length of his ministry, to remain connected with the Christian church and to build it up by adding other churches and other believers to that body. It's the same here. We're just one home church, but there are other hundreds of home churches all around the world. We're all following Jesus Christ. So this home church here is not to believe that we alone are going to finish the work, but we're to seek to be united with other brethren and with other home churches, and together as a united body, we can help to finish the work. So all of those things are what we discovered from our homework. And it is vitally important today. God does not lead independent Adams, but he does lead a united people. And that's why unity is so important today. And that's also the reason why the devil is so active in trying to prevent that unity and to destroy it. Amen. Unity is depicted in John 17, that we may be one with one another as closely as Christ is one with the Father. Amen. And the only way that's going to happen is if we're subordinate to the Holy Spirit and we treat others as equal with ourselves. Not less important, but equal. In fact, even putting them ahead of ourselves. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments on this before we go into our study book of Acts? Please go right ahead.
I was just thinking, as we study our Bibles for ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth and impart the next instructions from God or our new light, we are to share what we find with all those in our group, and that helps us be of.
Amen. Amen. And the ideas that we receive after sharing it with our brothers and sisters in the faith, the ideas that they give us can help enlarge on the light that we shared. Or it can also correct us in the light that we shared. we may not have seen it clearly enough, and our brothers and sisters can help us to see it clearly. So it becomes a joint effort, not just a single effort, but a joint effort. And that's why unity is so important. If we're all by ourselves, or if we isolate ourselves away from others in the faith, it's human nature to believe that whatever interpretation we come up with from the scriptures has to be true. Whereas that may not be the case at all. Our lack of union, our lack of fellowship with others, allows the devil to enter in and mislead us. And so that's where unity can become so important, not just to help us in our walk, but also to correct us and point us in the straight, upward, narrow path. So, amen. Another comment, it says, the body cannot walk with only one leg. Yeah, that's true. I mean, it can advance, but it's a very awkward advancement, having to hop from place to place. And, of course, the balance isn't always great. So that's...
I was going to say, as far as being one with another and sharing what we have learned, it talks about letting your light shine. Well, what good is a light shining if there's no one else to see it?
That's a good point. We have to let it shine so that others can see it and then check it out. So, amen. We're continuing in our study book of Acts, and we're at verse 28 of chapter 9. And the last thing that we were discussing was that the apostles and the disciples and the other brethren in Jerusalem were very fearful of Paul. They did not believe that he had truly become converted, and that it was just a ploy to try and trap them all and put them into jail. And so they shunned his companionship. But the Lord led Barnabas to take a special interest in Paul, and he became convicted that Paul's conversion was true, that it was honest and Paul was sincere, that there had been a miracle of conversion. And so he brought Paul into the midst of the disciples and relayed to them Paul's conversion story and what Paul had done there in Damascus, etc. And the disciples accepted him on the basis of Barnabas's testimony, but they also, with their own investigation, saw that Paul was indeed sincere and true. And so that's where we left off, and now we pick it up at verse 28. And he, or Paul, was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. So notice here that Paul was very energetic in bringing forth the light, the truth, that he had newly been converted to. He wanted everybody to know that Jesus was the Messiah. And why was he so energetic? I mean, the other apostles and disciples were preaching the word, but here Paul seems to be preaching it much more boldly, much more out in the open whereas it appears that the apostles and disciples were doing it much more carefully. Okay, it answers, he was on fire for the Lord. That's very true, very true. Another comment says, he was thrilled with the experience he had with Jesus. Amen. But I imagine that the other disciples and apostles were on fire and were thrilled with Jesus being the Messiah and their connection with him. But Paul, it specifically mentions Paul here boldly going forth and preaching Jesus Christ, and in fact getting into disputes with those that were fighting against the message. Whereas it doesn't specifically mention that the disciples were doing so other than on the day of Pentecost. Some other comments, it says maybe they had already been threatened. Perhaps. Another comment is Jesus had spoken to Paul personally in vision. That's true. Another comment is that was Paul's personality. Yeah, he was very zealous. Whatever he was connected with, he was zealous. But I think it was a little bit more. Paul was zealous in persecuting the church. And now he was converted to the faith. And I think he was doing what he could to undo the damage, the wrong influence that he had given in the past. He was sort of trying to make up for the damage he had done by being that much more zealous to add to the church converts. And so he was just that much more, amen, to make up for lost time. He was that much more energetic as a way of showing his repentance to be sincere and true.
I was just thinking about the personality, because it seems like each disciple that Jesus had called to be with him had a different personality and a different outlook. Some were bold, some were more timid, and therefore they could speak to every person that was, had the same personality or outlook as they did.
Okay, amen. The scriptures bring up the fact that when a sower goes out to spread seed in the field, he just doesn't do one seed at a time, like if he was planting wheat or barley or rye. They go out, and with a whole handful of seed, they throw it. And so seed lands everywhere, not just in localities where you want it to, but sometimes when you get close to the edge of your field and there's a road going by, some of the seed actually bounces around and lands on the road. Or it may land in good soil, rocky soil, weedy soil. You know, there's a whole variety of different places the grain can land. But it's sown far and wide without regard to who actually it comes in contact with or what it comes in contact with. And so that's exactly what Paul was doing. He didn't care if it was Greeks that were there or Jews or Parthians or Medes or Gentiles or other Christians. He was going to spread the seed of truth to whoever would listen, regardless of the consequences. Now, the disciples were more on the careful side. You know, they were in a room that was hidden away because of persecution that Paul was partly responsible for. And Barnabas had to bring Paul to that place. It was like a secret place. So here, because of persecution, the disciples became much more careful in the spreading of the truth, whereas Paul didn't care. He was going to spread the truth to whoever would listen, and I believe partly because of his past persecution of the church. He didn't care what he had to do in order to find the followers of Christ to put him in jail and perhaps lead to their demise. And so now, just on the opposite side of the coin, he doesn't care what consequences happen to him, because he wants to preach Christ Jesus to whoever will listen. And this is on top of him almost being captured there in Damascus. He had to be let down in a basket down the wall so that he could escape, because they were watching the gates of the city to take him and apprehend him. So here he comes to Jerusalem. He's able to connect himself with the apostles and the disciples, and they embraced him as a true brother in the faith. And then he goes to the very churches that, and the very brethren that he once worked for and was preaching Jesus Christ. And of course, there's going to be disputes that happen, and Paul was there answering the questions and giving biblical or scriptural answers to those questions. And when the Grecians saw that they could that they could not trip him up in his speech, and that the more they questioned him, the brighter Jesus became and the less their arguments appeared, they didn't like that too much. And so they went about to slay him. So I believe that Paul recognized how great a sin he had committed, how great was the merciful kindness and forgiveness of Jesus, and then how great was his responsibility to spread the truth that had saved him from such a judgment if he had not been converted. So Paul was indeed truly converted, and he had recognized how great love God had for him, and he wanted everybody to know it. And isn't that how we are to be? Christ mentioned that those that had been forgiven little, love little. And those that have been forgiven much, loves much. They recognize how great a debt had been forgiven, and thus how great a debt they owed to their Lord in return. So Paul boldly spake in the name of Jesus, and that sort of indicated that the disciples and apostles were more carefully preaching in the name of Jesus. And we can see that God did everything to protect Paul as long as Paul remained following in the will of God. And God will do the same for us. We have nothing to fear. So the Grecians went about to slay Paul, and verse 30, which, when the brethren knew or discovered, they brought him or Paul down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. So because of the persecution, the disciples sent Paul away. Paul didn't decide to go on his own. The church thought it best to send Paul away, and Paul complied with the wishes of his brethren. But that didn't mean that Paul was silent on his way. He continued to preach the Lord Jesus to whoever would listen, regardless of whether he was in Jerusalem or not. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments? Please feel free. Before we open it up to a season of prayer, are there any prayer requests or petitions that you'd like to bring forth? Thank you so much for those requests. For those listening here, there's been a request to find some car keys that have been lost somewhere. There's been a request to pray for Brother Rick and also Brother Saddam in his eye situation, that his eyesight may be restored. Brother Rick for stomach problems. Sister Sandra for recovering of anemia anemia. There's an unspoken prayer request. And oh, Saddam is a woman. Okay, so Sister Saddam's eyesight. Okay, thank you so much for those. And there's also an unspoken prayer request. And so let us go ahead and bow our heads and our knees for prayers. And whoever would like to pray, please feel free to do so. And I'll go ahead and start. Precious Father in heaven, we thank you for thy words of inspiration to help us to understand that you are leading a people and not just independent atoms here and there, and that we're to be united together, one with another in church capacity, and also be united with other churches that are following in the same present truth, and thus be a united whole, making up the body of Christ, to be edifying, encouraging, strengthening, correcting, and helping others to come up ever higher in Christ Jesus. Thank you so much for helping us to understand that your work is organized and is not haphazard. And I pray that you'll lead and guide us in performing your will in this area. Thank you that thy truth is spreading around the world, and more people are being led to the Savior and to embrace him as their God and King, and that Babylon is being emptied of souls. Please multiply this work, Father, that an abundant harvest may occur and your kingdom can be swelled with your sons and daughters. We pray that you'll be with all of those that have requested prayers. Pray that you'll be with Brother Rick and continue to heal him. And please allow whatever problem is causing him nausea to be alleviated and cured. And if the medical profession cannot locate the source of the problem, then please, dear Savior, heal him with thy hand or just with a thought. Your word is sufficient. And raise him back up. And thank you for doing so. Be also with Sister Jenny and give her the extra grace and the strength and encouragement to handle the extra responsibilities. that she has, and please also help the family with the necessary funds to continue to exist and to live until they're able to resume working. Thank you for doing so. Be with our dear sister Ida and help her to find her car keys. And thank you for helping her in this. Be with Sister Saddam's eyesight and let it return and be restored. Be with Sister Sandra and help her blood situation to come back to normal, and whatever lack of platelets or red blood cells or white blood cells may be the problem, please heal her in this and regain her health and endurance. And thank you. Be with all the unspoken prayer requests, and thank you for knowing each one and answering according to thy will. I pray that you'll also be with Sister Francine and continue to pour thy spirit upon her and build her soul upon you, the rock. Help her not to take her salvation lightly. Help her also to be able to witness effectively to her family members and friends and neighbors and those whom she meets, that precious souls may be brought to the Lord and that they can have an authentic relationship with God. And Father, we pray that you'll continue to spread thy truth to those that are hungering and thirsting to want to know it. Please keep us from being deceived and allow our feet to see that straight, narrow path that we're to follow and not be misled. Help us to be more earnest in fighting for our salvation through Jesus, putting on the whole armor of God and not trusting in self. And also be with Sister Francine. Continue to lead and guide her. Also lead and guide each member of your body, of your people and church. And help each one to be faithful unto the end, that we may receive that crown of life when Jesus comes. Thank you for hearing and answering all of these prayers according to thy perfect will and in thy timing. And thank you that we're a day closer to heaven. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, it is such a privilege to be able to come and speak to you personally, knowing that you hear us. And even if we may speak imperfectly, you know what's in our heart and you answer that prayer too. Help us to be very careful about what we see, because by beholding, we become changed. Help us to see those things that will change us into your image and not lead us astray. Help us to get rid of self and to treat others as you tell us to in Corinthians, what love is. Help us to practice all of that so people can see the Savior in us and not wonder why we call ourselves Christians when we don't act like Christians. Forgive us where we've gone astray and kind of been led down a path. Thank you for showing us where we really are, and help us to spread that light to others, because there's joy and happiness in real love. Be with those who are lonely. Be with those who are hurting. Be with those who are discouraged. and give them the joy and peace from knowing you, because you want all of us to be able to feel that and to be saved in your kingdom. And thank you, Jesus, for making that possible, and help us to always make the right choices with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. Praise the Lord. And that was not Saddam's eyesight, but Sister Sandra's eyesight. So sorry about that. And the Lord knows. But there was, are there any thoughts or questions, comments, any songs or testimonies? Please feel free. The hymn, Draw Me Nearer. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I dwell in heaven with thee. Draw me nearer, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleedings.
Amen. Amen. Well, dear ones, may God bless. Keep looking up. And we're looking forward to seeing you again this coming Friday evening and, of course, on Sabbath. So until then, may God bless and keep drawing ever nearer to the blessed Lord and He to you is my prayer. So until next time, dear ones, may God bless and keep you safe.